You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationals. Today's date is Monday, July 21st, 2025. Grandpa Dan with you at RadioAlbion.com. We're starting off another work week. I hope you had a great weekend. And what better way to kick off the week than an installment of Daily Mail Monday here at Radio Albion. So we're going to go ahead and jump right in to our selection. It was tough this week. Not going to lie, it was pretty tough because I avoid royal family stories and celebrity gossip. And it made it tough. It was, I had to really cull through quite a bit of material to put something together today. But alas, this is the price I'm willing to pay. First, our first story, we're going to continue with our theater of politics. And this tells you, because y'all know I'm sick of politics. And I really would rather discuss just about anything else aside from the royal family or celebrity gossip. So the fact we're going to start right off with American politics tells you how slim the pickings were this week. Our first story headline is Trump calls out high-profile senator who's in big trouble for plotting an American tragedy and demands he be locked up. Well, Trump, considering your track record with locking up everybody else, you said you were going to lock up from Hillary Clinton to whoever else. I don't think anybody is particularly worried. Donald Trump has demanded a high-profile Democrat be sent to prison in the latest escalation in their long-running feud. California Senator Adam Schiff is at the center of a Justice Department investigation for a sustained pattern of possible mortgage fraud involving misrepresenting which home he used as his primary residence, Trump said. Let's stop for just a minute and ask ourselves. Let us stop and ask ourselves. How much do you think? What are the odds? How great are the odds? How great is the possibility, do you believe, that Adam Schiff is going to face legal charges for mortgage fraud? I'm sure, you know, I have no way of knowing if he's guilty of this. But, I mean, come on. All of these politicians are scumbags. I mean, they just are. I say all of them. Of course, there are exceptions. That proves the rules. But seriously, what do you think? I don't care if there's a Justice Department investigation. This is the same Justice Department that's been telling us they're going through the Epstein thing, and then all of a sudden it doesn't exist. How much does anyone here seriously think that Adam Schiff is in any sort of danger of going to jail? Because I don't think anybody takes this serious. Adam Shifty Schiff is in big trouble, Trump said in a Truth Social post Sunday night. He falsified loan documents. Truth Social. Here's something else. Truth Social is just Donald Trump's person. Because is there any audience on Truth Social, beside from, I guess, the media, who has to sit around and pick up Trump quotes? I mean, it is not as though Truth Social is a real alternative social media platform. Like, nobody's on there but Trump. And is he writing these long-winded posts on social media? And when is he doing this? Like, does he go to the bathroom and sit in there and write up a post on Truth Social? Trump also went on to slam Schiff for orchestrating an American tragedy by investigating his son Donald Trump Jr.'s phone records in 2019 amid concerns about the origin of a meeting with Russians held in Trump Tower 3 years prior. He once said my son would go to prison on a scam that Schiff, along with other crooked Dems, allegedly or illegally manufactured in order to stage an actual coup, Trump wrote. Look, if it was an actual coup, then people would actually be in jail. This is just more BS political theater. Nobody takes it serious. It's an attempt to distract from the Epstein thing, which we're going to have some fun with here in a minute. I know you're sick of hearing about it. I'm sick of hearing about it, too. I'm just going to point out one little story on it that is interesting, because there is something, I think, a positive aspect to it. I'm going to get to that in our next story. But this is just an attempt to divert away from the train wreck that the whole Epstein file thing has turned into. And again, I don't think that Trump is, I don't know if Trump is actually posting any of this stuff. He had this whole thing where he went out and was essentially attacking his own supporters because they keep bringing, they keep bringing up the Epstein thing. Well, it turns out that it's not just MAGA people that are bringing up the Epstein thing. Next story, the real reason the Epstein client list is never getting released. Now, I know what you're thinking. I had another story to companion with this, and I skipped on it. And it was about Joe Rogan talking about the same topic and who he really thinks is behind the Epstein information not coming out. I'm not using that because I scrolled through it to see what the answer was. And the answer was, this is real controversial. You know, I mean, this is... His answer was money. Money is the reason it won't be released. They're getting out there. You know, it's just putting it all out there, boy, by pointing the finger at money. That's a hardcore take. You can see why I skipped it. Yeah, let's see who this guy says. Jeffrey Epstein's rumored client list, because this is actually going to be a pleasant surprise. Jeffrey Epstein's rumored client list will never be released to the public by the CIA, according to a former agent. John, and I'm not going to say it right, but John Krakow, an ex-CIA officer, was jailed in 2012 for leaking the agency's waterboarding interrogation techniques used at Guantanamo Bay, shared his views on the controversial pedophile, including his opinion on the alleged list of clients. Kirkow, who sat down for an episode of Patrick Bet Davis. Now, I hit that and I thought, this is not a good sign. You know, on an episode of Patrick Bet David's podcast, told the media personality that he believes the alleged list will not see the light of day because it holds incredible, valuable intelligence information that the CIA would never hand over simply because the public demanded it. Now, when I got to this part of the story, I almost just clicked off of it and moved on. I didn't do that, and I'm glad I didn't. I think there's probably a reason that this story, even though it's laudable enough that it is seeing the light of day at all, but we get to the money shot a little further down, because we're going to get to the interesting part of the story. That should have been the lead. Instead, we have all of this and it just looks like, oh, well, you know, one step above big money. It was the CIA. The CIA whistleblower who works for Sputnik, a Russian government news outlet. This is relevant for some reason, I suppose. Specifically said, he believes that Epstein, 66, was employed by Israel's intelligence service, Mossad, and that is why the list will not come out. That is the money shot of this story. And this is where I do think this is interesting. And, you know, otherwise I wouldn't be doing an Epstein thing, because it's being done to death, and there's a lot of gaslighting going on and intentional over-the-top nonsense. But this is the money shot to the Epstein story. It is obviously, 100% obviously, a Mossad operation. Anybody with any common sense can look at it. Just a normie with any sort of looking at it critical skills can figure out real quick that this was obviously a Mossad operation. You're listening to the show. You obviously know this. But see, most people aren't listening here, sadly. They'd be so much more educated if everybody listened to Radio Albion. But alas, it is what it is. And a story like this getting out and somebody bothering to read through it and get to this part, it was a Mossad operation. And this is 100% obviously true. I mean, Epstein's whole background is so shady. I mean, a math teacher. Now, all of a sudden, he's a billionaire. Must be because he's just so clever, right? This is connected to our previous story because they're throwing all of this nonsense out here in order to drum up mud. We're going to have another nonsense story here coming up in a minute from the other side, from Team D. And if you step back and look at it, you can see both sides of the Uniparty playing against each other here. And in order to keep up a distraction. When I said earlier, this whole handling of the Epstein thing is a train wreck, and it obviously is. And it is not because of rich people or, you know, doing unscrupulous things. Because right here, what we just hit, once you've got people in a more normie, and I don't know how many people or listening to Patrick Bet David's podcast, that's irrelevant because a lot of people do read the Daily Mail. And when you have a broader audience like that, because again, we talk about the source stuff here a lot. Anybody who listens to Radio Albion has known for years that Epstein was a Mossad operation. That's not the point, because the point is a whole lot more people read the Daily Mail. And now we're at a point where people in the mainstream are openly talking about this being a Mossad operation. And this should not be happening from their standpoint, you know, from the standpoint of those in power. The fact that this has leaked into the public conversation, that's not good for them. That you can see why they've got to drum up a distraction here and multiple distractions. The media is doing everything they can. American media is doing everything they can to make sure that this isn't discussed. I always do that, the network news and your world in 90 seconds in the mornings. Not because I think they're actually going to tell me my world in 90 seconds. I want to see what they're putting out there to dangle in front of people to keep them distracted, to keep them entertained, whatever. And the number one story was the weather. You know, somewhere in the country it's flooding, and in other parts of the country, the heat dome, which is the new term for summer because it sounds much more scary. The heat dome, a massive heat dome. The implication, of course, being that this is a part of climate change and we should all be very frightened of this. Now you have a credible person, because this person, look, you're never formally with the CIA. Yes, this guy got in trouble as a whistleblower, got sent to jail. He's not dead. I guarantee you this guy still has contacts in the CIA. You're never with one of these agencies and then you're clear. It's like being in the mafia. You know, you don't leave the family. You know, once you're in for life. You're never really retired. You're never really, you don't really quit. If you're drummed out, it's in a hearse. So if you're still living and breathing, you still have contacts with people. And looking at this story, you have you have what I would say a credible person making a statement of the obvious that this was a Mossad operation. I would think this would be one of the headline stories on American Network News, because this is all about our government. You know, this is just, aside from the British royal guy, this is primarily an American-centered thing. And yet, there's no mention of this. This is, I'm sorry, the fact that it's hot in summertime pales in importance to me to the fact that this somebody is coming out and openly stating, again, from a credible source, they attempt to kind of gaslight and discredit in this story by pointing out he works for a Russian news agency. A credible person is coming out and naming that it's Mossad. And if this person names it's Mossad, then obviously, of course, non-surprisingly, the CIA knows it's Mossad. And still, I read articles by people who are correctly critical of Israeli policy, primarily to do with genociding the Palestinians. And yet, these people will still cling to the idea that somehow Israel is acting on the behest of the American empire. If Israel is a client state to the American empire, then the client state is not running intelligence operations against their sponsor. Does that make sense? Let's put it this way. Let's look at it another way. If you want to view North Korea as a client state to China, I don't think that's entirely accurate. But let's say you view that, because a lot of people would probably view it that way, that North Korea is a client state. And again, I don't think that's really accurate. They are obviously connected. They are very dependent on China to an extent. Can you picture North Korea's intelligence agency running a massive intel operation that's obviously designed to control Chinese party officials? Because I can't. I don't see that happening at all. I don't see them attempting to even do that. I read articles by these same sorts of people, and they will go on and on, not incorrectly, but on and on, slamming people for not waking up to the Israeli genocide of the Palestinians. You know, to the point of being like insulting of people, that they're stupid because they won't wake up to what what Israel is doing to the Palestinians. And then yet, they'll still turn around and they themselves claim that Israel is somehow almost a victim in itself, because they're just being used as a weapon by Washington, D.C., you see. It's actually the Americans that want to genocide the Palestinians or something. And they're kind of just forcing Israel to... And yet you have to say, well, Washington could theoretically stop that, what Israel's doing, at any minute, but why don't they? You know, it just gets tiresome watching people dance around it. It's because the American government is bought and paid for lock, stock, and barrel. Well, I made a joke here a while back that they should just cut out our entire political thing and just let Netanyahu run the country, because he is anyway. Why are we paying all these middlemen for a bunch of political theater? But again, this is big, because more and more people are now saying it's a Mossad operation. And again, that's not news to any of you listening here, but it is big that more and more people are talking about it. When you look at the big picture, this whole narrative is starting to spiral out of control. You know, more and more people, they've already essentially blown up the anti-Semitism as a weapon thing, because they've overused it to the point. They've alienated, you know, the leftists to a large extent in this country, because they've attacked their own useful groups by accusing them of anti-Semitism when they were speaking out about the Palestinians. You know, it's just been handled really ham-handedly. And this is a good thing. It doesn't seem like it, but it is. It's a good thing. And I was just really, I thought it was great that now you have more of a mainstream, you know, a wider spread audience with people saying openly that this was a Mossad operation. And if it's a Mossad operation, to what end? How do there's the U.S. gets nothing out of this greatest ally bullshit. this special relationship, our greatest ally in the whole wide world, that is so stupid on its face. The U.S. gets nothing, and the American people get nothing out of being allied with Israel at all. In fact, just from a practical matter, we would get a lot more if we had an antagonistic relationship with Israel. You know, the Arab Middle Eastern countries have a whole lot more to offer America than Israel does. Which at some point leads you to ask the question, then why is it this way? You know, and when you got people openly talking in the mainstream about things like Epstein being a Mossad operation, that kind of starts to answer the question itself. And it leads to other questions. You know, you have those recordings. All of a sudden you have those media, those recordings of Nancy Pelosi talking about, essentially, I'm paraphrasing here, even if the entire U.S. government and the country burned down, they would still continue to serve Israel. It all starts making sense and starts leading people going, well, if it's big money that is controlling these narratives, who's controlling the big money? And these things start stacking up. And once the cat is out of the bag, it's really hard to put it back in. Now, I talked about this Trump shift thing being theater, trying to, they're just throwing up things like crazy to try to get everybody onto the next thing. Because it's generally pretty easy to do, because the people are just easily, they have short attention spans, and it's easy to get them off topic. But you can't help but to sense a certain level of franticness behind this, you know, being frantic. Behind, like, they're desperate to get people to start talking about anything. We had this Trump story we started off with this stupid, obvious theater feud with Adam Schiff. Well, let's shift to another, the flip side, Team D doing the same thing. Obama says, this is an Obama story. We hadn't heard about Obama in a while. Obama says boys should have gay men as mentors in their life to call out when they say stuff that's ignorant. I talked on a recent show about not taking rage bait when they put out there a story like this. This is designed, again, to get everybody talking about something else, anything else. I mean, what's the point of even coming out with these statements? So let's get into the story. We won't get into a lot of it because it being what it is. Barack Obama has said all young boys should have a mixture of male role models and friends, including a gay person, so they don't grow up ignorant. Yes, we should totally, if there's one thing young boys need, it's to have more homosexuals in their life, because what could go wrong? What could go wrong? It worked out so well in the Boy Scouts, didn't it? Remember, these people demanded that they let the homosexuals into the Boy Scouts. It was ignorant and bigoted to not let homosexuals be scoutmasters. And then they turned around and destroyed the Boy Scouts when it became shockingly revealed that the homosexuals were all molesting the young boys. This is a good place to insert the "it's also tiresome" meme here. The former president spoke with his wife, Michelle Obama, on the podcast she hosts with her brother, Craig Robinson, called IMO, which stands for, in my opinion, in case you didn't know. Obama, 63, whose own father was absent in Kenya, I have no idea what this has to do with anything, said that even if boys have a great dad, they need more than one male role model. One of the most valuable things I learned as a guy was, I had a gay professor in college at a time when openly gay folks still weren't out. The Harvard Law graduate turned Democrat politician said he became one of my favorite professors and was a great guy. He would call me out when I started saying stuff that was ignorant. Well, I have a question. And that is, how did you know this guy was gay? I mean, really, how would you know that this college professor was a homosexual? I mean, what class was this? Who was the professor? How did this professor's sex life come up as a topic in class? Did he show up in drag one day? Did they do a lecture on... I'm not going to be vulgar. Seriously, this is stupid theater. And just applying a minimum amount of critical thinking by asking relevant questions shows that this is bullshit. Oh, I had a gay professor, and he would point out things that I would say that were ignorant. What the hell was the class? I want to know. What would the class be where you're sitting around talking about homosexuality? Now, I'm not saying he never had a gay professor. I mean, he may have. But again, how would you know? You know, I'm sure each and every one of you can be confident that each and every one of you probably work with, or at some point in time, you have interacted with somebody who is a homosexual. But you probably never knew that. Why? Because what are they going to, you know, how is that going to come up in conversation? You're going to go to the... I'm trying so not to be crude, but it'd be funny. You're going to go to work, and you're all hanging out with the guys at work one day, having, you know, what would y'all do over the week? Did you catch the big game yesterday? And you can launch off into some of that, you know, ball game talk that people have. Oh, yeah, we did, you know, with the big game. I thought we had the game in the bag. We couldn't put some points up there at the end. People are talking about the defense, and did you catch the big game? And then one of your coworkers tries to chime in. He's like, and you look at him and you ask your coworker, you're like, hey, did you catch the big game? We're talking about, he's like, what are y'all talking about? We're talking about the big game. Did you catch the big game? And your coworkers are like, no, I was too busy sucking dick. I said I wasn't going to be vulgar. But I mean, really, how would it come up? You don't know. Your homosexual coworker isn't going to say, no, I didn't catch the game because I was too busy. We were doing a gay dungeon fisting party somewhere or whatever the hell. You ain't going to know. How's it going to come up in class? Being corrected. Well, you were in class, Obama, and then you spoke up and said, yeah, I think gay anal is really disgusting. And he corrected you on your ignorance. It's all 99.99% of this is unmitigated bullshit. You know it. I know it. It just takes just a little bit of question asking. And you can see this bullshit. So what's the point of it? It's more political theater. If I took the bait, I would sit here and do this segment on how outrageous he wants homosexuals to have more access to young boys. See that dang Obama. See how, oh, just see how these people are. Oh. But see, I'm not taking the bait. We're talking about this, but we're talking about it. We're talking about it for what it really is. And let's hit our final story, because I put this, I said, this is a fun one to finish out. It's like, oh no, please, not that. New York magazine writer encourages Democrats to cut off MAGA relatives. That will teach them. A liberal writer is encouraging fellow progressives to cut off family members who support Donald Trump. New York Magazine's Sarah Jones insists that going no contact is the only way to deal with right-wing family members. I'm probably going to use this woman's picture, not as any sort of like, just so you can think, if this was your family member, how devastated you would be that they just decided to quit talking to you. oh no, don't throw me in the briar patch. Sometimes the act of knowing a person leaves you with no choice but to move on without them, Jones wrote. I love it when people who are essentially a dumbass say things that they think are like really profound, you know, really poetic. Sometimes the act of knowing a person leaves you with no choice but to move on without them. That's really breathtaking. That should be written down somewhere so that non-binary people of whatever gender in 100 years can sit down and read this really, really insightful quote. If my parents liked Alligator Alcatraz, I'd no longer speak to them. If they were rude to my LGBT friends, I'd block their numbers. Though shunning won't work as a political strategy, there are still natural consequences for the way that we speak and behave. These people are so insufferable.
You know, like, every one of them is the hall monitor.
And of course, this person's a woman. I didn't even have to tell you that.
You know, and you can see that because they want to be a mommy.
And you see it reflected. They turn everybody into children. They instead of just doing the normal thing and going out and having kids of their own and being a mommy to their kids, they forego that. And then they want to mommy everybody else. Sit up straight. Eat your peas. Those might be helpful things to a child. Instead, they try to mommy everybody else. You know? They are the monitor. They are the ultimate deciders of the proper way to speak and behave. And it never dawns on them how arrogant. Again, if a mom is doing this with her children, yeah, it's appropriate. Because an adult, even an adult woman, is going to have more of an idea of how you should be acting and behaving than a child is. When somebody like this appoints themselves as the arbitrator of how other adults should be acting and behaving, you know, it comes off, and the fact that they don't realize it comes off as incredibly arrogant. That they themselves think they are so morally superior that they get to tell people how to act and behave. Her comments were in response to a guest essay by former Obama speechwriter David Litt in the New York Times, in which he advocated for reaching across the aisle when it comes to families with opposing political views. Jones said she hails from a conservative family and suggested this has been a source of contention. I'm sure it has. And who has been the source of this contention? I wonder. I come from a conservative family in a conservative place, and I nurture my pain like it's a small pet. I'm sure you do. Her pain. But I speak to my family, and sometimes I even go home to see them. Well, how big of you? And I'm sure they really look forward to it. I'm sure they all sit around with bated breath looking forward to the days when you come home. No doubt to monitor the way they speak and behave.
I'm going to stop the article there because the rest of it is just Daily Mail nonsense where they talk about what random people on Twitter think about it. You know, I find it amazing how some people lack any ability to self-reflect. You know, this person, I mean, just what we've read here. You get this takeaway, this feeling that, you know, her family, she's essentially blessing her family with her presence. And it's so big of her that she still talks to them sometimes. You can go ahead, and the fact that she nurtures her pain, she's not nurturing her pain. She's nurturing her grievance. Her sense of superiority. That's what she's nurturing as a pain. She nurtures it. She nurtures her arrogance, her sense of entitlement, as reflected by the fact that she thinks it's up to her to decide what is and is not appropriate for other people to talk about. When you see somebody like this, and you know, a story like this is, I mean, low-hanging fruit, granted. But when you see somebody like this, and they obviously have such a high opinion of themselves, you know, that they are so confident that they are right, that they are correct, that they are moral. They are their family members' moral superiors. Just in this story, you can take that away. I mean, and they don't realize that. they write this, and they really think that when you read this story, you're thinking, wow, this woman is a very moral person. Look what a good person. She's moral. She holds her family accountable. She does no clue that people read this and go, wow, I bet her family's really glad when she doesn't come over. I bet when her family, when she announces that she's going to make an appearance at Thanksgiving, I bet her family is like groans collectively. Because instead of having a pleasant Thanksgiving, they know what they're in for. There will be moral lecturing. She's been nurturing her quote unquote pain. In other words, her sense of superiority like a pet. She's been nurturing it and she needs a release. She only hangs out with other people that thinks like her, more than likely. And she needs a chance to go out and vent it on other people. So she is going to make an appearance at Thanksgiving this year. In her mind, she's giving them a real treat. In their mind, they're collectively groaning. In fact, I would imagine that no small number of family members probably find an excuse, I can't make it this year. You know, the parents are probably like, they don't tell everyone else she's coming because then no one else will come. Who would? You know you're in for a lecture. What the hell are you even going to talk about? Just from what little we read. What do you think the odds are that if this person showed up to your family dinner and nobody brought up politics, that you're going to get through the entire day without some form of moralistic lecture from this person? It's, and the hubris is just topped off with the ultimate threat that you'll cut them off. This is how much people like this think of themselves. They are so morally superior. They are such good, righteous people. They are so important. They are so intelligent that the ultimate threat is them not speaking to you ever again. And yet, I can't help but to view this in the context of, please, whatever you do, don't throw me in the briar patch. We'll wrap up on that note. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. It's already in the can. It's posted up. It's ready to drop. Dr. Johnson should be here Wednesday with Orthodox Nationalist and return on Thursday for his installment of the Daily Nationalist. So I hope you'll get a chance to check all of that out. I hope you have a great week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.